more grace and welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Carr. Enjoy today's message.
All right, Lord, let's try again. Let's try again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 29:29 says something very profound. I told you the other day, thank you. I told you the other day, Tuesday, that we were here. I told you that you have been privileged to be a part of an apostolic prophetic ministry. Amen. Not just apostolic and prophetic and doctrine. Of course, we believe in repentance. We believe in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. Of course, we believe in the apostles' doctrine. But we are not just apostolic and prophetic by doctrine. We believe in the demonstration of power. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, when I came unto you, I did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came with the demonstration of spirit and power. Verse 5 said that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Well, we are in an apostolic prophetic ministry. And I told you, because you are a part of a prophetic ministry, it is very hard to hide your mess in a prophetic house. Now, that does not always mean that the prophet is going to necessarily call you out one by one. But somewhere, if you are in a prophetic ministry, that word is going to find you. And it's going to find you when you don't want to be found. Sometime the pastor may be preaching something else, and the Holy Ghost, because you're in a prophetic house, will tell that message to come down your street and to get your attitude in order. Say amen. So you're a part of a prophetic house, and you must understand that whenever God shows us something and reveals us something, it is absolutely for a purpose. This is what the Lord showed me. God showed me about last week or the week before, begin to speak to me about KCC at large and begin to say to me that my hand is upon the house. He said, I've called this ministry. I'm going to use it. I'm going to bless you, that you'll be used as a foundation, as a place, as a headquarters for a genuine move of God. And he showed me the church, and he showed us in here shouting. He even showed us worshiping God, weeping, loving God. But I shared with you on last week that God also took me by the Spirit, like he did Ezekiel, and called me to dig out a hole in the wall. And he said, yes, they are lifting up praise. Yes, they are worshiping me. Yes, they are doing everything that the priests do in the temple. You see the smoke. You see the glory. You see the manifestation. You see all of that. He said, but I also am showing you this vision because I want you to see the danger of seeing a manifest presence when there's perversion behind the scenes. And he began to say, I want to show you a hole in the wall. And when he began to show me the hole in the wall, of course, it was not the perversions that most of us think of, because most of us, when we think of perversion, all we thinking is hoeing and lying and cheating and stealing. Come on, say amen. But God began to deal with me about the perversion of lifting your hands to God but not speaking to each other. Quiet church. He began to show me the perversion of coming in here, lifting your hand, saying, God, I love you, but then looking at the person next to you, don't want to talk to them, don't want to fellowship with them, don't want to commune with them. Look at somebody shout, perversion. God showed me. He said, that's perversion. It is perversion for me to be able to speak in tongues and can't talk to you. It is perversion for me to be in here dancing and shouting and running all over the church, but have not learned how to overcome evil with good. Have not learned how to not have the last word. One thing that I've learned is that the wrath of man worketh not the what? Righteousness of God. So God showed it to me. And God showed me something else the other day when he showed it to me. He said, son, I never show you something just to say it. I show it to you because you can change it. Now this bless me. This is going to bless you, Pastor Butler. Amen. This is going to bless you. Hear me good. Deuteronomy 29:29 is very, very profound. God began to show me this even as it pertained to the election. The Lord showed us, he said to me, he said, you don't have to be the purposed and chosen to be chosen for my purpose. You didn't hear what I just said. I said, you don't have to be the purposed and chosen to be chosen for my purpose. What do you mean? I don't believe Donald Trump was chosen. I don't believe he was the purpose. Yet, God can use him for his purpose. Does that make sense? All right? So I want you to understand this, that I shared with the body of Christ. I said, God doesn't choose presidents. A lot of us try to go into the Bible and look up a theocracy, a time when didn't nobody do no voting. There was no democracy. There was no electoral college. There was nobody voting. They were not in a republic. And you try to use that and say, God chose Saul. God chose Cyrus. God did choose Saul. God did choose Cyrus. Yes, but that was a nation that was governed by the prophets. It was the prophets who would go after God would say, send Samuel to Jesse's house to let him know that that boy named David is anointed to be king. That was when the nation was listening to the prophets. We are no longer in a theocracy. We are in a democracy. And because we are in a democracy, God doesn't choose presidents, we do. But God has the power to use who we choose. Does that make sense? So God said to me, he said, son, whenever I show you something, it's for a purpose. Deuteronomy 29:29 came alive to me just yesterday. He said, the secret things belong unto who? Read your Bibles. It said the secret things belong unto who?
The Lord.
The Lord our God. Pay attention. The secret things belong unto the what?
The Lord.
Y'all, that Lord. Come on, talk a little bit of that. The secret things belong unto the
Lord.
That's right. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto and to our
children.
How long?
Yeah.
That we may
stop.
The secret things belong unto the
Lord.
But those things which are revealed belong unto
us.
Give me Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 7. Acts chapter 1 verse 7. Verse 6. Let's start at verse 6. Look at Acts 1 and 6. They came to him and asked him a question. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They asked him a question. He responds and said, it ain't for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father have put in his what? Hold on here. That shows me that there are some things that we are not supposed to know. Because the secrets belong to the Lord, our God. But if I reveal it, it's for you to do. You missed it. It went right over your head. The only time God reveals something to you before it happens is because you can change it. Because if you couldn't change it, he wouldn't reveal it, because it's only for him to know. So when God says to us, there's a hole in the wall in case you see. He's revealing it because he's saying, I want y'all to fix it. I didn't show it to you for you to say, oh, you heard Pastor. God, he said, we don't look. No. Now that we have diagnosed the cancer, now our job is to find out how to fix it.
Tell somebody,
we got to fix this. Come on, look down your row and say, we got to fix it.
So I begin to share with you about what happened on the day of Pentecost, which was one of the most powerful days in the world. And I don't really want to get into that like I want to, but I'm going to let you know, we got this whole church thing messed up. You know, looked like they was in the building before Pentecost, but looked like after the Holy Ghost came, they went in the streets. Maybe we've not had a real genuine encounter with the Holy Ghost if all your Holy Ghost do is keep you in church.
Y'all ain't saying nothing. Nah.
See, when the Holy Ghost really come, you're going to go out there to that crackhead, that homemonger, that y'all ain't talking to me in here. God did not give us the Holy Ghost just to look at each other and shout. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to be witnesses. It's a shame that what the Holy Ghost couldn't do, Corona did. Got us out the four walls and got us reaching who we should be reaching. Say amen to that. So I really want you to hear me by the Spirit of God and hear what the Lord is saying to us. So I begin to show you about how the church at Acts came together and they seemed to be of one heart and one mind. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 32, real quickly. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and I want to look at it in the NIV version. I want you to see it now. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All right.
I know you've been fancy. Come on.
All the believers were one in heart and what? Somebody shout, one heart,
one mind.
Say it again. One heart,
one mind.
All right. Look at this now. Look at this. And I showed you how that these people had an encounter with God. And this is in the middle of Acts. Something has happened. The church is in persecution. They're in persecution because of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has put them in persecution and literally has them like the church in Asia. They are what we call the underground church. They are going from house to house because they cannot gather in a sanctuary, because if they found out that they were gathering in the name of Jesus, they would come together and kill them. Here go Peter and James, went to the temple at the hour of prayer. They see a lame man sitting at a gate called Beautiful and says, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. The man gets up and walk. Well, guess what they do to them? They put them jokers in jail. And they say, now listen here. We told you, do not preach in the name of Jesus. The man comes and testifies and said, what y'all locking them up for? Man, I couldn't walk. I'm healed now. Let them men go. They let them go, but they say to them, don't play with us. If you keep on preaching in the name of Jesus, we're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. I told you, imagine the threats. Imagine what they said to them. We killed your master. Don't think we won't kill you. We killed your pastor. Don't think we won't kill you. So now they have a choice. They got a choice in the matter. They got a choice to decide. Am I going to spare my life or am I going to spare Christ? Am I concerned about my life, my riches, my goals, my dreams, my aspirations? Or am I willing to give that up to serve God? Come on, 21st century church. We are a church who is deeply rooted in pride. We are selfish. We are self-centered. We only serve the God who provides our needs, does what we want him to do, and have not learned how to worship him when we don't get the response we want. I want to let you know, God don't always give you what you want, but can't you say, though he slay me? So there's we are. That's where they are. They are a 21st century church on the run. This is not just people that's old. These are young folk. These are teenagers. These are married folk. These are single folk who have decided nothing else
matters but loving on God. And I told you that while they are under persecution, they don't go to complaining. They didn't go to praying, saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. They don't go to praying, saying, help us, help us, help us. Lord, get us out of this. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 in the King James Version told you exactly what they did in Acts 4, 24. Look at what their prayer was. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4, hallelujah. And when they heard, glory to God, that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Somebody shout one accord. I want you to pay attention to that, because you see that a lot in the book of Acts. The church is powerless if we are not united. The church is powerless if we don't have the same goal, the same mind, the same will, the same passion, the same goal. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Tell somebody one thing, one thing. You got the wrong neighbor. Tell somebody else one thing. The truth of the matter is, what is your one thing? Are you here for the right reason? Do you have the right agenda? Are you here looking for a wife? Are you here looking for a husband? Are you here looking for God to give you a car? Are you here looking for God to give you a house? Or are you here saying, Lord, I'm available. Use my hands to glorify you. Use my mouth to give you the things. Somebody say, it's all about him. They say, Lord, you're God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of our servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against our holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. But verse 29, they say, Lord, we're going to love on you. But while we loving on you, I want you to pay attention to their threatenings. I want you to listen to how they coming against us. You got to learn how to say that to God. When they coming against you at their job, go in that bathroom for about 5 minutes and say, you're the God of heaven and earth. There's nobody but you. You're the God of all flesh. You're the God of my boss. You're the God of everybody coming against me. But also, God, while I'm in here loving on you, pay attention to what they're doing to me. Fight against them, hey, that fight against me. He said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Look at what they're saying to us. They said, but Lord, why are they saying it? I'm asking you to give me boldness. Somebody shout, boldness. That's what we need in this hour. We need boldness to declare the word of God with confidence. We need boldness to look at the government and say, you can't tell us we can't come together. We need boldness. We need preachers that are not afraid to go to jail. We need preachers that are not afraid. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. That'll say, you can't vaccinate me because I got vaccinated at Calvary. We need people that'll talk with boldness, that's not afraid of the government, and I say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Somebody shout, we need boldness. Tell somebody else, we need boldness.
They said, Lord, give your servants boldness. Give us boldness to declare your word. Give us boldness to fight under pressure. Give us boldness to minister when everybody's coming against us. Give us boldness. Some of you are cowards. You are weak. You are impotent. You act like you don't know who your God is. You're afraid to stand for God at your job because your job is your source. But once you get a revelation that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you will trust God and stand for him no matter what it costs you. One of the saints at the church in Jacksonville some months ago when this COVID thing was hot. I mean, it was hot. She's a nurse. And they wanted her to take a test. She said, I'm not doing it. They said, well, we need you to take a test. She said, I don't need to take a test. I'm telling y'all, I'm healed.
Amen, amen.
They said, well, you got to take a test to prove it. She said, I'm not taking no test to prove it. I'm telling y'all, I'm healed.
Amen.
That's a conviction. That's what she wants. They said, well, you can't work here. She said, God is my source. See all that? See, y'all be talking it when you ain't tested. But can you say it when you're tested? Because if your faith ain't been tested, it's fake. She came to me that next week. She said, man of God, they trying to get me to take it. But I told them I got divine immunity. She said, I'm not going to do it. She gave me gave me some money. She said, I'm sowing my seed. I'm trusting God to be my source. Glory to God. She didn't go to work the next day. She didn't go to work after that. She didn't go to work a week later. She didn't go to work 2 weeks later. Didn't go to work 3 weeks later. Didn't go to work 4 weeks later. But all the nurses they kept testing had COVID-19. They say, but we need somebody to work. Hey, glory to God. They called her and said, come on to work. She said, I ain't taking no tests. They say, we ain't worried about it. If you're still alive, we know who your God is. Y'all ain't talking to me in here. Somebody shout boldness. They were bold. They were not afraid to lose everything for him. See, you scared to lose your job. Give us boldness. Hallelujah. That we may speak your word. Verse 30. And he said, by stretching forth your hand to heal. Now look, they say, Father, they're coming against us. But the only way they're going to know you real is they need to see some miracles. I'm praying that's what God give this church. He give us notable miracles that when they come here, see, that's why the news had to let us alone, because the other church, y'all ain't talking to me, the other church, after they came together for their convocation, people died and people had COVID-19, but did nobody die at KCC? Y'all ain't saying nothing to her, because he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon his shoulders. I feel a glory about to come up in here, and with his stripes, somebody shout, I am healed. I can't speak for the other church. I called the health man. You know, they want us to do. I called the health man. And I said, hey, sir, all that news that y'all gave every day, time of some of y'all was waiting on bad news. But don't know that I was in prayer, cursing the expectation of the enemy. I was in prayer saying, devil, whatever you plan, I curse it. Whatever your expectation is, I curse it. Not one feeble one among us. Y'all shout, because a fresh anointing is coming on. I'm at verse 30. They said, stretch forth your hand to heal. Now this is a church. This is a church whose life is in danger. But they saying, God, give us some miracles. Give us something to let them know that you with us.
We don't need to see it because we know you with us. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We know God gonna deliver us. But we know that if he don't deliver, he's still God. But I got some sinners out here that they don't believe that God is with us. So send your power. Let your glory rest in this house. Let there be such a distinction on the people of KCC that when folk look at us, they say truly God is with them. That signs and wonders may be done. That was their prayer. That was their prayer. By the name of our holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, tell somebody you got to pray. You got to pray. Come on, KCC. Look at somebody and say, we got to pray. Look at somebody and say, we got to pray. We got to pray. We done did a lot of dancing, but it's time to pray. We done did a lot of worshiping, but it's time to pray. We done did a lot of shouting, but it's time to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and sit down. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the one thing his house is supposed to be calm is the least thing we do? Isn't it amazing how you can come in here and listen to your pastor preach? You just love your pastor. You will sit there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Most of us to be entertained. Because you ain't listening to what I'm saying because you ain't changing. So you're really just being entertained. Come on, come on, come on. Isn't it amazing how you can sit in that chair for 2 hours, for 3 hours, might nod every now and then, come on back and buck, shout, dance, scream, sing. You can do that for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Oh. But if we call a prayer meeting, when we come in here at the beginning of the service and pray just for 30 minutes, you tired. On the day of Pentecost, they sat there and waited. He said, go to Jerusalem. They were there about 40, 50 days. Just waiting. Oh, ba, 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 shy. Wasn't going to make nothing happen. They were sitting there saying, waiting on you. Waiting on you. Yeah. Waiting on you. Oh, waiting on you. Oh, ba, 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 shy. Waiting on you. Oh, waiting on. Waiting on you. Ooh, la, la, ba, ya, ya. Waiting on. Come on, sing it, y'all. Ooh, wait. You. Everybody say, we're waiting on. Alaba, shekele mandalo. Waiting on you. Oh, waiting.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida, every Sunday at 8 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. at 2104 North Main Street in Jacksonville, Florida. Or at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. at 3409 Brookshire Boulevard in Charlotte, North Carolina. Or call 1-833-522-5433. You can also visit us online at kccharlotte.org, kccjacks.org, or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More Grace, we're excited about your future.